grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier 5 o'clock happy hour, the Tuesday hangover edition. Normally, I don't do day drinking on a Monday, Dem, but when you and I hang out and the president's in town, and, you know, there's a couple of Trumpsters to hang out with and have a good time. What the heck? A little day drinking for all. Dom, I'm not going to give the man any credit, but I know you've been quite upset about this ruling. You know, the judge, the canon, that's the judge's name, this Trump appointee, the probably unqualified judge, the partisan hack that appointed a special master, at least said, we're going to pick one. Well, even Bill Barr. Even you and Jim Santel's buddy, Bill Barr, called the ruling on the Mar-a-Lago documents deeply flawed. I would guess they probably are. When Bill Barr's throwing you under the bus, it's probably bad. Dom, I want to turn our attention a little bit to a little press conference bomb throwing from Peter Ducey at the White House. You know, Ducey, the younger Ducey, not the foxy friend, but the one that's on the White House beat. And he's often asking jackassery and asinine questions of the president, or sometimes it's the president's spokespeople, but, you know, he's playing his partisan games. But he asked an interesting question of the press secretary. I found it to be interesting. He asked her if the 2016 election was stolen. He asked her that, and, you know, she deflected and said, we're not going to look back and da, da, da. I could give you the exact quotes, but I'm asking for my own edification, if you will, Dom. What about our audience? And I know people are listening. AM 950 listeners have joined, people KGOE all across the country, right here across the state of Wisconsin, WAUK, WTTN, WFHR, and WXEO, Bull Falls Radio. I know you're all listening. So here's the question, and I mean it in 98% sincerity. Was the 2016 election stolen from Hillary Clinton? Because some are going to say it was stolen from Bernie, and I might agree. But well, I'm talking about the general
election. Don't you have to define what you mean by stolen? I mean, define that.
I want the audience to define that at 844.
It's out there, man.
967-2789. Well, you think on that for just a moment. I'll give you a little of Peter Ducey. Fox News correspondent Peter Ducey asked White House Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre on Tuesday if she believes the 2016 election was stolen following criticisms leveled by President Biden against the GOP. Ducey was referring to a number of tweets Jean-Pierre sent around the time of former President Donald Trump's election, during which she suggested the 16 presidential contest in the 18 Georgia governor's race were not conducted fairly. So here is Ducey's question. If we're all in agreement that it is incorrect to say that the 2020 election was stolen, what about the 2016 election? She responded, we're going to focus on the here and now. We're going to focus on what's happening today. And then she turned around and criticized Ducey. Let's be really clear that comparison you've made is just ridiculous. I was talking specifically, she apparently has a history on Twitter, Dom. I do not have a history on Twitter, not like you and Trump do. I back to quoting Jean-Pierre, I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and what was danger of voting rights. As Ducey was setting up his question, Jean-Pierre interjected, oh, I knew this was coming. I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question. So I ask you this question, Dom. Was the election of 2016 stolen by any definition from Hillary Clinton?
No.
By your terms, no. By your framing?
No. No.
844-967-2789. Do you think we have ever left our fair audience? You fine people. Have I ever left you with the impression that the election was stolen in 16? Have we ever advocated? I'll speak for myself. I don't recall doing that, but the short-term memory, nearly as bad as Dom's, a little bit better, but nearly as bad. I don't recall ever making that evocation on the air, but I know that I've talked to people that, oh, it was stolen from Hillary. Stolen.
Well, okay. I'm just wondering. I think that's why definitions matter. Was the electorate influenced by James Comey? Yes. I think no question about it.
To the point of stealing the election from her?
Did the electorate then go and cast their votes, and the result of those votes were counted correctly, and therefore Trump won? I do believe that.
In 2016.
In 2016. Certainly that was an influencing factor.
But what about the Russians?
Steal an election is
the Russians. Russia.
If you vote for candidate A, and the majority do, and all of a sudden the candidate B wins. See, that's to me is a stolen election. If my vote cast for my candidate counts to my candidate, and the sum result of all those other different votes accurately counted for whoever they voted for, well, that's the result of the election. That is not a stolen election.
Yeah, go tell that to Jill Stein. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys.
Was 16 stolen, Joe? I got to ask. I got to do the Peter Doocy. Someone's got to play the Doocy role.
You know, I could go on for hours on this in terms of what influenced what, in terms of Russian involvement in this and what was told to the Russians and how they were involved in it, and Comey and the newspapers, Les Moonves, all those other people who were just wanted a fun time, and Trump indicated a fun time and great ratings and screw democracy. This was just so much fun to have Trump. But I'm going to take it to here and now, which is where are we in 2022? And the question that I want to bring up is there was a guy in New Mexico today. He's a New Mexico court commissioner that just was sued by a group called CREW, C-R-E-W. They represented people of the New Mexico area in which that man held office. This guy is named Coy, C-O-U-Y, Griffin. He is the head of Cowboys for Trump, and he was at the insurrection and participated in the insurrection. And there he just got yanked from office by the judge that looked at this lawsuit that CREW brought in, the group nonprofit CREW brought in, and it was under the Section 3 of Amendment 14 that came in after the Civil War that said people are disqualified from participating in office if you've engaged in an insurrection, which he definitely had, proudly had. He was just removed from office. My question is, how might that affect the race that's happening in the 3rd District, which is Brad Pfaff, as I believe, who is running against, help me with this.
Brad Pfaff is running against Derek Van Orden, and Derek Van Orden is an accused insurrectionist who used his campaign funds, about $4,000, to go out and meet with some Republican legislatures and then, you know, do his duty as a patriot to try and overturn the peaceful transference of power.
Democracy. Yeah.
Here's the difference.
Right.
Never charged with a crime, not a crime related to insurrection. Now, if it's carrying a loaded gun through an airport, sure, he's done that. But the crime of insurrection, which is addressed through the 14th Amendment, Van Orden has not been accused or convicted. And you look at some of the other lawsuits. Our friend Kirk Bankstead at the Minocqua Brewing Company took up a lawsuit against Ron Johnson. Same problem. Tom Tiffany, same problem. We know that they were involved. We see the malfeasant behavior, but unless there's a crime and a conviction, it's very hard, as we found out in the Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Madison Cawthorn and every other case of this sort, until a guy was convicted first, that you can't block him until they're convicted. But now he's convicted and he's off the ballot.
Yeah, I don't think this guy was convicted, which is the thing that turns it around. He was convicted?
He was. In fact, we got the bestest of friends, Joe, and I appreciate you listening, but our good friend Jim Santel shared with probably me and Dom, I suspect, but sent me an article this morning and said sometimes, every so often, they get it right. He sent me the accounting here from Law and Crime, and then about an hour later, I saw the New York Times reporting something very similar. Judge disqualifies New Mexico County Commissioner and Cowboy for Trump's founder for having engaged in the January 6th insurrection. Well, let me read just a little bit into this article, Joe. In the first decision of its kind since the Reconstruction era, a New Mexico judge removed one of the state's county commissioners from office under the 14th Amendment's prohibition against public office holders engaging in insurrection. The founder of Cowboys for Trump, Coy Griffin, C-O-U-Y, not to be confused with any other Coy Griffins, was convicted earlier this year of entering a restricted area. See, he was convicted. So there's a criminal charge and a specific conviction on a charge where he basically is, you know, this is questionably whether or not he was charged and convicted with insurrection. He was charged and convicted for entering a restricted area for his role in the January 6th siege at the U.S. Capitol. Griffin has fought since that time to preserve his role as a new county, New Mexico County Commissioner, claiming he had a First Amendment right to protest President Joe Biden's lawful election. The judge, Francis Matthew, this is the New Mexico judge. Here's the irony in the ruling, as the judge points out. The irony of Mr. Griffin's argument that this court should refrain from applying the law, talking about the 14th Amendment, and consider the will of the people in District 2 of Ontario County who retained him as a county commissioner against a recall effort as he attempts to defend his participation in an insurrection by a mob whose goal, by his own admission, was to set aside the results of a free, fair, and lawful election by the majority of the people in the entire country, you know, the will of the people, has not escaped this court. I think that snark on behalf of the judge in this case, Dom, and he has been post-conviction removed from his position, and I would say, quite frankly, you could be banned from the ballot, but first there would have to be a charge and a conviction. If Van Orden gets convicted of something other than, you know, bringing a gun through the airport in an unrelated, you know, back and forth to Cedar Rapids, I just wonder how he got through the first time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because, you know, he had successful. The gun both ways, right?
Right.
Got caught on the return flight.
Just a bit more background on this from lawandcrime.com. Again, thank you, James Santel. Citing the whiskey insurrection and freeze insurrection of the 18th century, the judge noted that one need not succeed in overthrowing the government to have engaged in insurrection. Quote, the court concludes that the January 6, 2021 attack on the United States Capitol and the surrounding planning, mobilization, and incitement constituted an insurrection within the meaning of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the ruling states. The ruling said that Griffin helped mobilize and incite thousands across the country to join the mob in Washington, D.C., where he was a speaker on a multi-city bus tour organized by the group Stop the Steal. Applying these principles, the court concludes that Mr. Griffin engaged in the January 6th insurrection. The judge then turned to Griffin's actions on January 6th. The court concludes that Mr. Griffin's crossing of barricades to approach the Capitol that were overt acts in support of the insurrection, as Griffin's presence closer to the Capitol building increased the insurrectionist intimidation by numbers, the ruling states. Mr. Griffin's marching with the mob all the way to the inaugural stage, knowing the mob's insurrectionary purpose, likewise constitutes an overt act. The court's conclusions are consistent with how knowledgeable 19th century Americans would view Mr. Griffin's actions. He aided the insurrection even though he did not personally engage in violence. By joining the mob and trespassing on restricted Capitol grounds, Griffin contributed to delaying Congress's election certification proceedings. The constitutionally mandated proceedings could not resume until all members of the mob, including Mr. Griffin, were removed from the restricted area. Now, is this the first time, Prudy, that a court has found that this is officially now and is defined as an insurrection?
And certainly in the modern era, Dom, and the judge found that Griffin is constitutionally ineligible and barred for life from serving as a senator or representative in Congress, elector of the president and vice president, or from holding any office, civil or military, under the United States, under any state, including the current office as Ontario County Commissioner. Suck it, man. You insurrectionist, semi-fascist bastard. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Time for your calls. 844-967-2789.
The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle.
So you're stealing.
I gotta steal that.
Texts, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hi, folks. This is Kirk Bankstad at the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I am proud to introduce you to Choice, our new pink grapefruit-flavored hard seltzer. Choice was made in collaboration with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, and 5% of the proceeds from every can goes to support them and their fight for reproductive freedom. Choice hard seltzer tastes great and comes in at only 105 calories per can. Go to our website, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to find where you can buy Choice hard seltzer.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org, brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got a troubling story to share with you and the audience. I found it at the Daily Beast. Politico. I often go to that as a political source. We often cite articles from Politico. It's under new ownership. And there is a story that is broken over at the Daily Beast, and I suspect other places. Politico's new owner invited colleagues to pray for Trump's reelection. To pray. This is the owner of a political, you know, web-based newspaper, effectively. But let me read just a little bit. The new German owner of Politico sent an email to his closest executives asking if they should meet up to pray for Donald Trump's reelection. According to a report, Axel Springer, CEO Matthias Dapfner, sent the message in the weeks leading up to the 2020 presidential election, according to the Washington Post, a year before his company's acquisition of Politico in October of 2021. Do we all want to get together for an hour in the morning of November 3rd and pray that Donald Trump will again become president of the United States of America? Dapfner wrote, inspired by an article about the Trump administration taking legal action against Google for abuse of market dominance. Dapfner went on to argue that Trump had made the right call on five of the six biggest issues of the last century, including pursuing peace in the Middle East, defending the free democracies of Russia and China, and only falling short on climate change. He is quoted here, no American administration in the last 50 years has done more, he added.
What? Are you kidding me? How was his COVID response, dude?
Dominic, when asked about the message, Dapfner initially denied it existed, going so far as to say it has never been sent and has never even been imagined. When confronted with a printout of the email, he explained, he may have sent it as an ironic, provocative statement in the circle of people that hate Donald Trump. That is me. That could be. Come on, man. You can't deny it and then say, oh, that's just my sense of humor. Let's go pray for Trump because he's right on five of the six most critical issues of our of our existence?
Provocative and sarcastic, and then after lying about it. What? I mean, I've seen some rumblings about Politico from other like progressive Twitter people, and I really don't pay much attention to it, but that's certainly a little strange. But, you know, ultimately, owners of websites and newspapers and magazines, they have religious and political beliefs. But it's just kind of ironic that when asked, right, if you're ahead of a journalistic publication of sorts and you lie about it and have to be presented with a printout of your own email, it kind of goes to the credibility portion of your page.
Dominic, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. 844-967-2789. I got one more from, let's call it the ironic file. This is very brief. A Pennsylvania man who breached the Capitol on January 6, 2021 has been turned in by his ex-girlfriend after he called her a moron for not believing the presidential election had been stolen. You're the moron. Was on Tuesday sentenced to spend 9 months behind bars.
Oh, damn, that's going to hurt.
Richard Machete was arrested last February and pled guilty to one felony count of aiding and abetting obstruction of an official proceeding, according to the Department of Justice. Federal prosecutors sought an 18-month prison sentence for Machete, saying he was an active participant in the insurrection. Machete, they said, believed that certification of the 2020 presidential election was creating a civil war and had personally confronted law enforcement at the Capitol yelling, "We feed your family, we pay you." On Tuesday, in addition to the sentence, Judge Christopher Cooper also ordered Machete to spend 24 months on supervised release and pay $2,000 in restitution. He got off easy, Dom. 9 months in the big house, 2 years on paper, and $2,000.
He gave him the "you work for me" attitude. See how that worked out for you.
844.
Did you judge that too?
967-2789. If he'd have said that to the judge, I bet he would have gotten more than 9 months. Shay from Minneapolis, listening on KTNF, I bet. Welcome, Shay. What do you got for us?
Hi, Shay.
Yes, right. I would like to respectfully submit, gentlemen, that you got the question wrong. The question should be, has there ever been a free and fair election in the United States? We got to remember that until the 1960s, late 60s, blacks couldn't vote. And then knowing that now disproportionately the Republicans hold more office than they should according to their numbers because of gerrymandering, we got that. I'd love to hear a provocative discussion of, has there ever been a free and fair election in the United States? It'd really make an interesting discussion.
Well, I don't know if we can promise you a provocative, Shay.
Well, at least interesting.
Well, that Shay. Might be a stretch as well, Shay. But
no, but that's a great point, Shay. Thank you for bringing it up. From that perspective, no doubt, from all the voter suppression laws and those people who could not vote, women, minorities, that kind of thing, over the years, no question.
But we have
an influence on voting. But the question is, ultimately, to my perspective, if I cast, or a person, quote-unquote, legally cast ballot, if they are counted and they're totaled and summed, did they all go to the right person, and did that person ultimately win? That's my point. There's all sorts of malfeasance and issues, Shay, no doubt about it.
So effectively, if the vote tally after the election comes up with your preferred winner, then it's a good election, Tom. Is that what I heard?
As my definition of stolen, yes.
Okay, so stolen is when it's not your guy. I'm sorry, clarify that point.
Again,
I'm messing with you a little, Dom.
Okay, all right. Well, I know we got other callers here. I said it. I'll say it again. Stolen is if the person who wins gets the most votes doesn't win, that would be a stolen election.
So like Al Gore in 2000.
Sure.
He got more votes. Wisco Paul, any final thoughts? 1 minute, man. Stolen elections?
Yeah, I think there might have been some back in the day. I can't say for sure, but why would anyone
I don't care if you're rich or poor, who you are, why not live under Trump? I don't get it. And I hope somehow this guy comes to justice, but right now it seems like things are stacked. So that's my thought of the day. Why would anyone want to live? Because if he gets reelected, there will never be a fair election. So thanks, boys.
Thanks,
thank you, Wisco Paul. Thanks for listening. Thank you all for listening. You're the greatest people ever because you listen to the greatest radio show ever. Please do so again tomorrow. We'll do the Hump Day edition just for you.
Country, be a real American.
You serious, Clark?
Hey, that's a joke, son. Don't you get it?